been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We are excited. The Steelers, we beat them again. How great is that? Thank you guys for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. You guys are getting this show a little bit early this week because we got a busy week coming up. It's a short week for the Ravens, so we are recording this on Sunday night, mere hours after one of the craziest games we've seen in a long time. But a guy who was there and a guy who's fighting through I don't know what you're fighting through right now, because like you're coming back from battle. You're coming back from the front lines. Josh, what's going on, man?
That's good, man. I'm fighting through the voice. Obviously, I was part of the craziness, and I got to replenish it, but also use it again on Thursday. But given our short week, we kind of had no choice, but we're happy to get this done. And it's kind of a unique situation because you get to hear how I sound on a Sunday night. And by tomorrow morning, I won't be able to talk because I actually lose it over the night. It's weird. But I've been drinking hot tea as my go-to, so hopefully that'll help, bro.
All right, so before we talk about this game, I got to ask you, please tell me, did you go to Ravens Walk and check out the purple Lamborghini from Suicide Squad?
Didn't even know it was there, to be honest with you.
Oh, you're killing me.
I know. I didn't even know it was there.
I saw it on Facebook and Snapchat. They had, on Ravens Walk, they had the actual costumes from Suicide Squad behind glass on a bunch of mannequins. People were getting their face painted like the Joker and Harley Quinn. And then they had the purple Lamborghini, which I was like, God, that makes perfect sense. Actually, I didn't see pictures of the Lamborghini at Ravens Stadium. I saw it at a couple other places, but how perfect would it have been? That's kind of like my anthem for this season is the purple Lamborghini song. Whenever the Ravens win, I post that on Facebook. So I'm a little bummed you didn't get to see it. It sounded like Suicide Squad came to town and threw a little bit of a party.
I'm bummed I didn't even know anything about that. I'm a little bit mad now, dude. I would have been all over that, but I really did not know. I mean, we had a ball tailgating all morning and didn't even know it was over there, brother. Wow, that sucks.
All right, so let's get into this game. Usually I like to go through the game, you know, maybe quarter by quarter, talk about specific players. We got to talk about that ending. What the hell was that? Holy cow. After this gridiron matchup, I mean, completely like, you know, old school football, down in the trenches, this dude does an Irish jig, kicks the football twice, and the game is ending. What was the reaction at the stadium? What was going on there? Because, like, everyone, I had to work today, so we were watching it on the tiny little, like, 13-inch TV on our break.
Did you get to watch it today?
I got to see the majority of the game, and there was a little bit I missed. But everyone that's a Ravens fan that I work with was watching this feed, and everyone's like, what just happened? Honestly, what are we doing here? What are the refs discussing? Everyone was so confused. I'm like, he kicked it. He kicked it twice. So that means it's a Ravens ball, right? And they're like, I don't know. I think the Ravens were confused. The refs were confused.
Who do you watch games with? I mean, they're like, what just happened? I don't know. Like, that's just funny to me, the way you're describing this. It sounds like people in there watching an NFL game. What happened, guys, is exactly what happened. It's just like hitting a ball twice in golf. You just can't do that. I knew exactly what happened. It was basically our ball and the game was over. I mean, these stupid Steelers fans are waving their towels. I was like, put them away. You guys lost. Like, they didn't know what was going on. I was like, put your towels away. You guys lost. Basically what it is because he kicked it, it didn't fall off because of the wind.
Right.
He actually kicked it because he kicked it. It didn't go 10 yards. That's a legal kick, so it's illegal touching. So it's essentially our ball. It's basically no different than if they kicked it 8 yards. I think the ball had to go 10 yards, right?
Right.
And onside kick, yeah. So I just want to get the rules right because I don't really cover onside kick slots. You don't see it often. But my memory serves, yeah, it's 10 yards. So it's like the same thing if the Steelers would have kicked it 8 yards, their player recovered it, it still would have been our ball spot of foul because it's called illegal touching. On an onside kick, guys, the of course, excuse me, the kicking team cannot touch it unless it goes 10 yards or more. At that point, it's a free-for-all. It's like, you know, floating around the field, but and then of course he made light of the situation from trying to kick it on purpose all the way down the field, which he couldn't do and advance the ball. So I think at that point everybody was just like kind of like someone even said next to me because we started walking down the stairs because we knew the game was over. But the one guy was like, "Let's see how the rest can screw this one up and make some rule to disregard that kick." And I'm like, "Yeah, of course they'll probably make up something to favor that." So we just waited to see what the final come, but I knew the Ravens ball. And actually, I'm not more concerned about that kick and what was that. I'm more concerned with what was up with letting 210 passing yards in the fourth quarter. The team at halftime, Brandon, I don't know if you saw the stats, of course, you know, being hours of the game, but the Ravens held the Pittsburgh Steelers to 66 total offensive yards in the first half. How unprecedented is that? But then Big Ben only threw for less than 60 yards until the fourth quarter. And then they allowed 210 passing yards and two touchdowns. They had a shutout going. From the last 8 minutes of the game, it was just like it's prevent central. And that just pissed me off, dude. It can't happen. I'm more concerned about when the Ravens get a lead, they don't do what's working. And I'm sitting in the stands like, okay, we shut down Le'Veon Bell. They're not going to run the ball regardless. They're down two scores. It's 8 minutes to go. You know they're going to throw it all three downs. We have to get our paws on the ball. We have to get pressure. We have to do what we do. We have to sit back and know they're going to pass the ball. But a third and 21, and you let a guy hit a 40-yard pass play in the middle of the field like that, that's uncalled for. I'm more concerned about the fourth quarter almost meltdown and letting them back in. I mean, yeah, win's a win. If you look at it at the end of the day, this win got us not a tie, but we are in first place by half a game. So you look at a score 14-21, it doesn't look as bad, but when you know that we are up 21-0, you got to step on the throats, you got to put them when they're down. I'm more concerned about that because it's the same old song and dance, you know, getting a big lead and then letting the other team come back in, bro.
Yeah, we've seen all this before. You know, the Ravens have done this for a while now. It really sucks that it came down to that. I was watching the fourth quarter like you were and just going like, all right, don't lose this, don't lose this, don't lose this. But Big Ben was throwing those haymakers. I mean, he was some of those passes, like, unbelievable that this guy's hurt. I mean, they were amazing, just how many yards he was able to get and how nobody was covering anybody. I don't know if the defense was just worn out at that point, if they were kind of showing their age or their inexperience. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. The defense, they need to be able to play a full 60 minutes. I think they kind of wore themselves out with the first three quarters, because the first three quarters the defense was solid. I mean, they were fantastic. This is the team that we saw in the first couple weeks. I don't know if you just were watching Football Night in America, but they were saying how the Ravens are going to win the AFC North due to their defense. Their defense is
I did not see that. I actually was preparing for the show. I'm sucks I missed that. I wonder if I can find a clip on that. So Football Night in America was breaking down our game, and they're thinking that they're basically saying they believe we're going to win the North. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they said, who's your favorite for the AFC North? And one of the commentators, I forget who it was, said the Baltimore Ravens because of their defense. But
I'm telling you, we have an underrated defense. I don't know what people are – and we're going to cover a lot in this compact, a short amount of time, Brandon, before, number one, I lose my voice, and two, I don't want to get away from things. But that's the thing that's under the radar, that and the injuries. How many people did we have back today that we didn't have in this four-game losing streak? Yeah, Stanley got manhandled today by James Harrison, but a lot of pieces were in place, especially on the defense side of the ball. So with a four-game losing streak, it's kind of misconstrued, Brandon, because we stop the Giants on a fourth-down play and don't let Beckham catch that and go all the way to the house. We win the Giants game. We were there for the Jets game. We know how that turned out. So it's like, if they just didn't, it's just there's little tiny things that happen. And obviously we already know what happened in the two home games right in a row that we lost against the Raiders and the Skins. There was just some plays we left on the field. But as a whole, this defense is, and I even agree with you 100%, this defense since the beginning where they started 3-0, and now won this game. They've been so under the radar, it's ridiculous, with, you know, not allowing a 100-yard rush or stopping the run, not letting big plays. Big play today didn't really hurt us. And the biggest play, I think, was obviously the Antonio Brown touchdown, which it kind of was almost in garbage time at that point. They were still down 14 points, but in the 3rd and 21, you know, play where they got down the field, other than that, they've held their check. Weddle had an interception and right in his breadbasket, and I think Webb had another one. I mean, we got one of them. Forcing turnovers, got pressure when we needed to. I think the defense, man, you know, it was the fourth, you know, end of the third quarter, and then it was funny, the announcer was like, Baltimore Ravens this, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the fans you heard go, zero, and everybody's like, it just was amazing to see a goose egg for the Steelers in the score column at the end of three full quarters. Wouldn't expected that with Ben playing, wouldn't expect that with Brown and Bell. You would think, like, this would be a typical, like, 17-10 game at the end of third, but, dude, the Ravens were fired up, and it was an energized playoff atmosphere, bro. I mean, the North was on the line, and this was a must-win.
Yeah, absolutely, it was a must-win, and this coming Thursday is also going to be a must-win. They're pretty much all going to become must-wins at this point, but, yeah, the defense, they look good first three quarters, fourth quarter. I think they got tired, so hopefully they can work on that in the next couple days before Thursday. But let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball. You brought up Ronnie Stanley. Dude had a rough return this time around. I think he had four or five penalty flags himself in the first quarter or the first half. Definitely showing he's still a rookie. While yes, I do think he did a good job protecting Joe Flacco for the most part, he still has got a lot to learn, and we're definitely seeing that this week.
Absolutely, man. And going back to, you know, the injuries, you know, Stanley, yeah, he was coming off that injury and he did get manhandled today. But I have to stress to you, it's kind of funny how we correlate these wins and losses with players on the field. Stanley's been in for all four losses. He hasn't been in for all four losses, but he's been in there for all four wins, and we're 4-4. So, again, you know, it's not just one player. It's the whole team getting healthy, and we're definitely going to touch on everything there. But Stanley's just got a good it's a rookie learning curve. Got to get up to speed, but what better way to do it than going against Spencer James Harrison? Luckily, it didn't really cause too many problems, but a couple holds, a lot of getting beat off the ball. I just noticed there was a lot of lack of discipline on that front, and the penalties, again, are a problem. But I will say this, though, in the injuries, it's great to see Steve Smith back. Mm-hmm. He made an impact right away, getting a catch, putting up the field. Already his fiery self. Mosley was in there. Suggs was back. Yanda was back, I believe, if my memory serves correctly. I didn't see him omitted. I think he was definitely active. Ronnie Stanley was back. So, I mean, apart from Doomerville, everybody was back, which was very exciting to see on both sides. So, again, very exciting to see Stanley back there on the left side. We need that.
Absolutely, we definitely need Stanley. And Steve Smith, you brought up, I was shocked. I am not going to lie. I was shocked. He didn't practice at all this week. They didn't even know, I think, up until an hour and a half before the game that he was going to play. But, man, he looked like he hasn't skipped a beat. We've seen this before from Steve Smith. He looked great out there. He made an immediate impact. He had something to prove. He proved it. He's one tough SOB, and the offense is thankful for him to be back on this team because, man, just what a fiery guy, what an impact he makes on, I mean, older guy, veteran, you know, he doesn't have anything else to prove, I don't think, but he has that attitude of, you're still not going to keep me down, and I love that. That's the Ravens way. But, man,
when you hear what he said about the safety after the game,
yeah,
he's not even at his kids level, which was epic, man. I love Steve Smith.
Yeah, so I mean, it was great to have him back. Let me ask you about Joe Flacco, though. What was the attitude like in the stadium when he went down and limped off the field?
I have to tell you, in going through that, because I, for one, I was about to lose my lunch because I didn't know what was going on. All I see is I hear, oh, my God, Flacco's down, and I see him hobbling with no power on one leg over the sideline. Then all of a sudden you see him hop like a little bunny rabbit on one leg all the way down to the stairs in the tunnel, and I'm like, I dropped to like my knees in my seat, like on the concrete, and I was like, Oh my god! So we ripped out my phone. I didn't care what was going on at the game right now. Like I missed the Ryan Mallett pass. Apparently we got a first down somewhere. I'm like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm looking at my phone, texting my buddy. I'm like, what did that look like? What just happened? Because I saw him slide. I'm like, oh my god, his knee. And I'm like, don't tell me Flacco's out for the year. I was like, I literally might throw up. And my buddy said, chill out. He just busted his brace. He'll be back. I'm like, and I texted him, what? And as soon as I texted him, that next thing I knew, I see number 5 on the sideline. My buddy's like, no, he's going to go back in. I'm like, what do you mean go back in? It's freaking hobbling on the sideline. So apparently, had to calm myself down and actually log on Twitter during the game, which I don't like to do. I actually like to be there environment, watch the game. My phone stays on airplane mode the whole time. But I actually had to log on to see it, and I saw a picture. Apparently, the brace was mangled, and I saw the slide. I actually got to see the Ravens highlights when I got home because I was just at the game, and I saw how the slide it looks like because now we have grass. And it looks like the way he slid, his cleats kind of like took all the grass up and he got caught and it bent his knee a little bit and it mangled his brace. So, and I think obviously the way he was walking to the locker room, he didn't want to put pressure on his bad knee, I guess, because the brace wasn't there to be very scary. So I guess it was a scary moment, but me, I thought Flacco's out for the year again and he blew his knee out and I literally was just going to, I didn't know what to do. That was my reaction. But after he came back, moved in the stadium, everybody was cheering. All was well.
Yeah, thankfully he's back. But definitely a scary moment there. I got to watch it at work, and people were just like, what happened? Where'd he go? What's going on? And I was like, ah, looks like he's out again. Looks like
seems like you like to watch the game with people that ask what's going on.
Yeah. They don't. Well, like, because we're all working. So, like, they'll come around the corner and be like, what just happened? What's going on? Where's Flacco at? Why is Mallett in? And then they'd go back to work. So, you know, they were all very confused, and I was just like, well, you know, we had a good year. You know, here we are again. We always knew that this knee bothered Joe. He hasn't been the same since, so I guess this is why. But then it was – thankfully, he was able to come back, and it was just a broken brace, and he was able to play on. I thought it was kind of interesting. Let me ask you about this. Joe Flacco, he has this injury. He's wearing a brace this year. I think maybe that's hindering him a little bit more than he is letting on because look at Big Ben, torn meniscus. And no brace, nothing on his legs after having a surgery 2 weeks ago, which something's still not right there. He's either not injured, as they're saying, or I don't know. But isn't that kind of interesting that Joe has a torn ACL? He's out for the rest of the year. He's got a brace on. Big Ben, torn meniscus, surgery, back 2 weeks, no brace, nothing. Isn't that weird?
I think it is a little weird. We were talking about that during tailgating. Excuse me. We were talking about that during tailgating, if Ben would play and if Jones would be starting. And, you know, my thoughts, I actually said if Jones plays, we win. If Ben or Jones plays, we lose. If Ben plays, we win. Because I just had that feeling. I just thought that we just have bad omens with quarterbacks who don't have any game film or experience, like a Charlie Batch coming in here beating us. And just the number of quarterbacks that just end up killing us because we just don't know how they play. And the Ravens Steelers is always good when the starters are in. And Ben wasn't missing this game. Steve Smith wasn't missing this game. I think that's why you just seen them all man up and say, you know what, this is Ravens Steelers. The North is on the line, and we're going to play battle. And it was great. And I have to say, the way the game was, it was great. My buddy predicted in the stand sitting there before the game started, he's like, he had a feeling the Steelers were going to take the opening kickoff and get points. I looked at him, and obviously after the fact, but you can validate it and ask him. I said, nope. I looked him right in the eyes. I said, nope, we're going to force a three and out. This is our house, and we're going to win the North today, bro. And when we got that three and out and they got off the field, he gave me the biggest high five. He says, thank God you're right. And I was like, yeah, man. And I have to say, witnessing history in Ravens, it was awesome to see the longest offensive play in Ravens history. Slant route when Mike Wallace caught that and took off. Place was popping. High fives everywhere. I was on my buddy's shoulders. It was pandemonium. It was an awesome energy, man. It just had that playoff feel, a heavyweight fight Ravens Steelers action all the way, man. I was very, very excited to see that happening.
Yeah, Mike Wallace making history today, man. Here's a guy, former Steeler. He was let go. Now he becomes a Raven. The arch rival comes to town, and the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town. And here he is. He's making history for our organization. Kind of poetic if you think about it. We were big Edgar Allan Poe guys last week. It's kind of funny. Mike Wallace is kind of writing his own poetry here. He's He's an outsider coming in, making history. Now he's going to be a part of Ravens history forever.
Yes, sir. And I will say this, and not only that, but it's just good to see. Like, we talked about this on the prior preview, didn't we not? We talked about the Steve Smith game against Carolina, the whole bad blood of will, and we talked about it. And I said it's not really the same because he had those themes in between, but he did it. He has something to prove because he actually said he was actually vocal about the safety McMichael and he's like, yeah, he's like, I told you all, and he was very excited after the game. I heard how so excited he was. He actually went down the locker room to actually calm down and get rehydration and get a meal because he actually was so excited after a touchdown that the doctors told him he had to actually go get hydrated and refueled. So I can see that, and it just sounds like, you know, the doctors take care of our guys down there when they get too excited, which is great. But I heard he pointed to the sidelines of the Steelers. So you knew it was definitely in there that, you know, hey, you know, you guys wanted to go a different direction to let me go and not give me the big contract. Well, you're going to pay for it. And it was emotional to him, right? And we're getting the reaping of the benefits, obviously, because it worked. You know, Steve Smith had a beast of a game, and now Steve's and with against Carolina, and now Mike Wallace had one against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was great. And dude, it was so sweet to beat these guys, and the way we did it, old-fashioned defense, stopping the run. You know, they tried to come back in dramatic fashion, make it a game. It was always exciting as ever. Another one-score game. I felt it wasn't even known the stats in the end and final score. It is a one-score win, which is another one in the books for the Ravens. Whether win or loss, we're in another one-score game, and we've been to all one-score games this year already. But I don't think it discounts the fact that the way that this game was out. I mean, we're 21-0. I mean, this should have still been 21-7. We should have still had a double-digit win. But overall, very proud. I mean, again, special teams with the block party. How can we not forget that? That was even special and epic. Returning that, our defense, you know, this was all three facets. One, big play on offense, Brandon, 95-yard touchdown. The block punt returned for a touchdown. We've intercepted the ball. The defense was stellar. This is the kind of win where, yeah, it might not hum all three phases like that, but there are some glaring concerns, and definitely before we end up breaking this down, I want to get to the glaring concerns. There's, again, Ravens are 4-4, the whole division's a mess, but we're in first place, but there's some glaring things to work on. But right now, if they play like this, I can definitely agree with that analyst that you said that we can win in North. I can agree the Ravens can easily win this North division because if they get and the key is healthy. You've seen what we don't when we have players hurt. We start losing football games. So when this team is healthy and we didn't have any injuries today, this is what it looks like, guys. This is what it looks like, and it's awesome.
It is awesome. However, I do have some concerns. I mean, this was definitely a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch. But Joe Flacco, he worries the hell out of me because
you have concerns? We're in first place now.
I know, but
I'm kidding.
I don't want to like pick out a specific play or whatever, but I'm going to do that because this is something that we've seen Joe consistently do. That interception that he threw, I don't remember what quarter it was in, but they were close to the end zone. He was trying to make a play. He goes off his back foot, across his body, across the field, throws an interception. I mean,
No. That's a no-no. You can't do that.
That was one of the dumbest plays I've seen Joe Flacco do in years. And he's done that consistently throughout his career. He's done that recently in other games. But, God, that interception, usually I want to say, oh, it's the receiver. He wasn't in place. This, that, whatever. This was on Joe Flacco. Needs to play better. Who's that?
It reminded me of Brett Favre. Again, I'm not putting Brett Favre and Joe Flacco in the same sentence. Oh, in this I am. But just hear me out. Brett Favre is notorious for that. He ended up ending his career in the NFC title game because of that against the Saints. Brett Favre should have been in another Super Bowl with the Minnesota Vikings, but because he decided to play Mr. Hero and try to force a ball in there where it shouldn't have been, it got intercepted. That exact play, I don't know why today, but when Joe Flacco threw that ball, as soon as he let it go, I was like, no, you can't go against the grain of defense unless it's a design play. Or if our receiver's wide open, the defense is all shifted all the way over the other side of the field, that only works. You don't run to the he's right-handed, Brandon. So you're telling me he's got to run to his throwing side, try to stop, plant his foot, drive it, and throw a strike to a receiver off the – he's made that play before, but only when it works and it's wide open. But he's throwing off his back foot. He's getting pressured, and he's trying to make a play. I can see the play he's trying to make, but he didn't read the defense, and obviously they make a break on the ball, and he picked it off. Luckily for us, defense bails it out because obviously it didn't turn any points for us. Now, if it was points off of turnovers for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we'd be up in arms right now and be like, no, yeah, that's not what you do. But at the end of the day, you get swept under the rug is, listen, let's just go back to the game room and correct it, or film room and correct it, because it can't happen, Brandon. I was definitely like, really? Did that just happen? But all is forgiven. We won the game. Let's just pick it up and move on. But another thing, too, on that I also wanted to cover is, and I took a note of this at halftime and making my notes for the show, is third down play calling. We're one of the first. I guarantee I would love to break down the numbers. I didn't get a chance to yet, but I would love to see the Ravens percentage on third down conversions. I think we're probably less than 25% as a team this year because And we've been, and all the talk in the stands on our downtime with we're not yelling while we're on defense basically was is the Ravens, I remember this play, it was the 3rd and 9 and they threw an 8-yard pass, 4th and 1. You need 9 yards, but you gain 8. What do you think is going to run for the – they throw it like 2 yards and expect to have a 4th and 29 play every time. Oh, let's check it down and let our player run for the rest of the yardage. We as fans sit in the stands and we can't understand why a NFL offensive coach or NFL offense doesn't call plays. Oh, guys, it's 3rd down and 7. We need 7 yards. Let's run a 9-yard route so we make sure we get the yardage. Let's throw it past the markers and get it. The Steelers are doing it. I guarantee if you watch a Patriots game all the way through, the Patriots do it. All these successful – I'm pretty sure the Cowboys are doing it this year. Pretty sure the Raiders are doing it. They're 6-2. Pretty sure the Broncos are doing it. All these successful teams, they probably go to the marker on 3rd down. I would love to see these other AFC teams with 3rd down conversions for us, but we suck, and it's pissing me off because – Brandon, if you look at it, it's almost like they give up. Like it's 3rd and 9, and they throw a little out route check down. That's not going to work. And it's just like, I just feel like they give up. And then I'm like watching their demeanor. They walk to the sidelines. I'm like, there's no urgency. It's not like they want to get the 1st down. The key to success in any NFL game is, let's say if you're playing against Ben, Brady, any of the greats, you want to keep the ball out of their hands. How you do that? Keep your offense on the field and keep their defense on the field with you. You prolong drives. But when you draw, you do that and you go 3 and out on your own, let's say the defense just got you the ball back and you go out 3 and out and sputter, and then our defense guy go right back out in the field and you give the ball in their hands, it's not a good formula. And we're trying to figure out why they just don't call plays to go to the sticks to get a 1st down. I just, for my life, can't understand it, man. I can't.
I'm right there with you, and even though like this team is in first place, the Ravens definitely still have more work to do to get better. But Joe Flacco, I don't know how many times, every time he screws up, somebody and us too always have to go, well, he is elite. But I don't know how many more times he can make boneheaded moves like that and still have that debate happen, because those passes, those interceptions that he's throwing, I mean, those are our rookie, maybe second, third year quarterback throws. At this point, he should be way better than that. And like you said, Brett Favre, you know, he can throw one like that every once in a while, but Joe does this a lot. So, yes, I still think Joe is an elite quarterback. Yes, he was a Super Bowl MVP, but he's making these dumb moves, and it's costing the team. You know, it's wearing out the defense. It's making the offense look bad. It makes him look terrible. I mean, it makes him look like he doesn't know what he's doing. So hopefully they can go into the film room. They can show him why it's not a good idea to throw off your back foot, or why it's not a good idea to throw it in that type of situation. But hopefully they can figure that out. And they're going to have to do it because it's a quick turnaround. Because, guys, we're not doing 2 shows this week. We're doing 1 show this week, and our Purple Friday preview pretty much starts now because the Browns are on Thursday. Quick turnaround. The guys don't have a lot of time to rest, and the winless Browns are coming to Baltimore, and we're going to see some color rush jerseys this week. So, Josh, how do we make sure that the Ravens can beat the Browns and we're not the one win they have this season? That is like my biggest fear going into this game is that, yes, I think the Ravens can beat the Browns and don't let them make any dumb mistakes because I really don't want to be that one team that they can beat.
Fear. I thought Halloween was last week. No, but I get you, man. I'm very concerned because the Browns put up the 20 spot on us the last time. But here's the thing. That was week two. We're going on week 10.
Right.
Short turnaround.
Already 10. Wow, that's crazy.
Dude, I don't even like saying that. We're in the double digits in weeks. And I literally looked at my dad and I'm like, is this week 9 in the NFL? Because I was looking at fantasy. I'm like, is this week 9? Is that what that said? I'm like, what? Like, this is depressing. NFL season's halfway over. I don't like that. I want to go back to week one. But and I would love a do-over, especially on our losses. But with that being said, how we avoid a loss against the Browns is you can't take them for granted. And I posted something this week. It's, you know, throw the records out the door, lock the key door because it's Ravens-Steelers. And it's kind of the same way with Ravens-Browns. Another divisional game. The only difference here is they're obviously winless, but Cody Kessler is a quarterback. It's not the Josh McCown who kills the Ravens all the time, which just gets on my nerves. It's Cody Kessler, so this might bode well for us. Another home game. We're in first place. Fired up crowd. It's going to be nuts. Under the lights. Our only primetime game at home all year. It's the second to the last one, which we get a Monday night or next month. So that's away. And you just can't have this to be in a trap game. You cannot come off a high of a win like this and lay a big fat egg on NFL Network. If that happens, it's going to be embarrassing. And you got to live that for 11 days. And then go to Dallas. The way Dallas is playing in 2 weeks? No. Yeah, it's just – you cannot do that. And coming off of the Red Eye review and going over to the Purple Friday preview, one thing that the Ravens were historically good at, and I know we didn't cover it there, is historically under the Harbaugh regime, we've been better off the bye. I think we've won almost virtually every game off the bye, if my memory serves correctly. It's usually after the bye week, the Ravens are refreshed and they know what's at stake. And it's always a huge game because our bye week's usually right in the middle of the season. So it's always a huge game after that. So coming off of the bye and we beat the Steelers in a short week against the Browns, you just have to take it with the same mentality as, look, it's another divisional opponent, number one, chance to sweep the Browns. Something that we always seem to do season in and season out. And another thing is it puts us at 3-0 in the division. Brandon, that's another one we want to target. And another AFC win. And we'll be over 500 at 5-4 if we end up on the winning side of this game. So, and then you win two straight home games after losing two straight home games. You have 11 days of rest for your road game opponent in the Dallas Cowboys, which will be a big test. See where we stand with a big-time offense and a big-time game. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Ravens come out for Thursday night for this one. We're all healthy, so we have no health concerns here. Just, you know, Suggs was a little bit dinged up with his bicep, but he's going to get treatment. He'll be fine. So we don't have any good injury reports to cover because we already know we're healthy for this one. Ravens themselves, quick turnaround. Got to practice well. Prepare, but you just can't avoid it, man. The Browns are going to be playing so hard, especially on Thursday night. They're going to play up for their divisional opponent, try to, you know, beat us on Thursday night, especially after that. They got their own incentive to get their first win, and they just lost big time to the Cowboys, man. They looked atrocious. But another thing is, too, I don't know if you knew this, the Browns lose. This is the worst start in franchise history.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they'll be 0-10.
Oh, God.
Well, it's just crazy.
Things can get worse. I mean, as much as we're complaining about the Ravens, things could definitely be worse.
That's just why I don't get it. I mean, yeah, we're 4-4, but would you want to be 0-9 at this point? I don't think so. I'd rather be 4-4, a half game lead in first place, is my opinion. I mean, you had a 4-game losing streak, sucked. We were there for the last of the game, and I was there for, you know, 3 out of 4, and it sucks. Yeah, losing sucks. Yeah, Terrell Suggs said it, but it happens. You're not going undefeated. You just got to lose minimally and hopefully get enough wins getting division win or the playoffs for that matter. But the Browns game, I'm not really seeing too much concern here. Game plan is pretty much the same. They had a balanced attack, speaking of our offense, this past Sunday. I mean, they pretty much only threw it 30 times, which I was very impressed with because when the Ravens actually are unbalanced, it doesn't bode well for us. I mean, the Ravens actually did well. I mean, Flacco had 30 attempts, and Terrence West had 15 attempts at rushing. So you figure you double it 2-1. It's not bad. Flacco's not throwing it 50 times, but we had a lot of good balanced attack, and I really love to hone in on the defensive play. If we can really stop Cody Kessler, I think the Ravens are going to really have their way with this team. This could be an easy one to predict, or it could be a hard one because you just don't know with the unvariables of Cody Kessler. But the Ravens, God can see, man, they could easily come out with a double-digit win on this one and actually break that big streak of one possession games here.
I'm thinking that the Ravens are able to get out of here with a win. I definitely think that because, like you said, I'm not hearing of any major injuries coming out of the Steelers game. There might be a couple guys like Steve Smith or Terrell Suggs that are a little banged up. The only notification I got from the Ravens said, I think it was Ken Dixon. He left the game early due to a chest contusion. So that's the only one I'm hearing about. Maybe in a couple days as the game gets closer, we'll hear a little bit more about who maybe got some rest or who needs a little bit more rest, who's not practicing or whatever. But this should be an all-around healthy Baltimore Ravens team. Luckily, Joe Flacco's okay. It looks like the running game's all right. Like you said, like their quarterback situation in Cleveland's a little bit more cut and dry than it was when we saw them. How's that going to affect the defense here? Because, like you said, Josh McCown, we kind of knew going in that he was going to be their guy, and he was still able to kind of run all over the place on him. But the defense got to him a lot last time around. Is this new quarterback that they're going to be having, is he going to be as well protected as Josh McCown was a couple weeks ago? Is the offensive line for the Browns okay? Because like everyone's saying, the defense is really the stealing the show this year for the Ravens. I assume that's going to continue on Thursday.
Yeah, man. I mean, it could be a very unique situation indeed, especially with the scenario that we're dealt with. I mean, I think the way we look at things, it could always be between the lines, if you could see that. I mean, the injury report looked great. I mean, things always look too perfect on the surface, but you just never know. But you're right. I mean, I was happy not to get a big text of, oh, we have 5-star players out on them. But the only Pro Bowler we had out was Doomerville, so I'm okay with that. But I think right now, I think the Ravens just need to be back to being tenacious, that fiery. I mean, they got it, and it was great. They always have to come out the same fire. I've always said, man, the Ravens play up and down to their opponents. You know, they get up for the big games, and then they kind of go, oh, you know, we could be losing to the Browns in the fourth quarter. We better start playing football. And then also we score 20 points and win the game. So I just don't think that'll happen. I can look at my crystal ball here, and I just can't see the Ravens giving this game up. I just can't. I not to make this an easy, you know, let's cover this one in 5 minutes and take the Browns for granted, but there's no matchups that I can say that would give the Ravens problems other than maybe Joe Hayden, and who I like to see who Joe Hayden covers, because that's going to be the key for us. Because if it does, he shadow Mike Wallace the whole game and take him out and make us beat them with Steve Smith only, what do they do there? How is the run defense going to pan out against Terrence West? Are we going to be able to gash them up and down with the run? There's a lot of couple question marks, even though that they're an 0-19 and this one seems like an easy cakewalk. There's some certain variables there that we don't know. I just stated them. Is just really have to look out for that and see how it's going to pan out for us, man. I mean, do you see any pitfalls? Because I don't.
I don't see any, but I do want to bring up what you said. Who is like the defense going to be covering from the Ravens? You're saying Mike Wallace. You know what I kind of noticed in the Steelers game, and maybe we should keep an eye out for it for this Browns game. Rashad Perryman had a very quiet day. He was not targeted very often with the Steelers. I think they don't really trust him right now. But do you see maybe going up against a team like the Browns that, you know, again, they don't have any wins yet. Do you think you maybe take a shot and give Perryman a little bit more of a look?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He had a quiet day, but he had a big first down catch for us over that Steelers game. And I think if you look at it as a whole, you got to keep feeding the ball, because you can't trust your guys if you just go away from them. So you know what? it's different if you're a Billy Kunder from or a Lee Evans around here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you choke in the biggest time of the game and the biggest stage, it's time for it to go, or we're just pushing doghouse. But to show trust in your guy, especially him being a rookie, just because he has a couple of main games, how would that be for his character if he go, you know what, we're going to throw it to Cam Akin a little bit more because you suck. No, that's not the that's not the way the Ravens do things. That's not the way coaches would do things. No, you got to believe in your guys. Flacco just got to feed him the ball. You have an all-pro quarterback, feed him the ball. Because he can't make plays and make some promise if we don't feed him the ball. You can't just shy away from that. But you're right, he did have a quiet game, and I think if quiet games keep accumulating, it's going to be a bigger issue for us. But we need all healthy hands out there catching the ball, because few and far in between it happens, and we need big plays. I mean, he's made big plays before in these games, even through the four-game losing streak, and we went right down the field, and he called that big bomb play to set us up in the Giants game. So it's just it happens. You just got to don't shy away from the game plan, but alter a little bit. But and especially I noticed in the Pittsburgh game, I think it was running routes. I can't remember if it was Steve Smith. I think it was Steve Smith running it, though. But he's a veteran, but here's the thing. Flacco threw an out route. It was on the right side of the field going away from us where we were sitting. And the receiver kept running down the field, and Flacco threw it, and it was like 5 yards, 10 yards short, and it was behind him, and the receiver wasn't looking. And the guy behind me was shouting, like, oh, Flacco sucks, he's so bad. And I'm like, you get your, you know, 2 cents in. But and then and my guy who was sitting next to me, my buddy Rich, he goes, no, Flacco's actually throwing to a spot on the field. The receivers aren't running the right routes. And then, you know, we were having a discussion. Like, it looks like for me there's miscommunication still in the offense. And that can't happen on Thursday night because it's a timing issue with the offense. And we've covered this time and time again about not having enough work in the preseason and practices and whatnot are always cut down and padded practices and whatnot. But it seems like they're timing and Flacco's thinking, oh, he's going to stop at 10 yards. I'm going to throw it. No, Steve Smith keeps running. Luckily, the defender's not standing there waiting for it, and he's running with the defender or with the receiver. So I think those things got to be corrected. I've seen Perryman run a few wrong routes. Wasn't on him over the weekend, but he's got to make some catches, man. And there's a few drops out there at all receivers left on the field. But we just got to step up and make plays. I think if we step up and make plays, we'll easily handle the Browns and be 5-4. If we don't, and you know we keep this a close game and let them creep in, it's going to be a tough challenge for us to get rid of them. And we can easily look at a 4-5 record and go, what just happened? And we're going to sit there like an egg on our face looking like some losers out there and go, oh, I guess we should have won that game too. Now, this is the game where you have that mentality. You just got to just take it. You know, you show the AFC North that you're the beast of the North and just take it. Take this game. Sorry, Browns, but you just gotta take them out. Take them out early. Make this a 20-0 game real quick and clean it up and go home and get ready for the Cowboys in 11 days. This is kind of like, you know, just get it over with. But no disrespect to them. I mean, they're dangerous. They've been in some close games since then, and they actually barely lost to the Jets. They had that game in hand, and the Jets came back and beat them. But they just got manhandled against the Cowboys at 35-10. So they got some dark days ahead, and they're traveling. So they were just at home, and they're traveling, which isn't far. But, you know, I'd rather be home on these two games in a way. And that boasts the Ravens, too. I think if the Ravens had to travel, it would kind of be a little bit worse in their favor. But the fact is, we get the men, they get to sleep in their own beds and stay at home for a whole week, which is great. They got a mini bye week at the end of the week. So I think the Ravens knew what's at stake here, something to play for. Brandon, I don't see anything wrong with this game plan. I think this is pretty straightforward. Duplicate what we did against the Steelers. And I wouldn't say that saying that you can't really take the game plan, man, because you can't duplicate it to every game because you have to play to your opponent's strengths and weaknesses. But it's going to be an AFC North clash. It's an AFC opponent, and they're going to be dangerous. We know what they're about. It's virtually the same players minus quarterback play and a few receiving changes, but it's the same team, man, and you just can't take it for granted because we can get snake bit on this one, and you know how it goes. You know, we love to play down our opponents on these primetime games, and I just really don't want this to happen.
Yeah, the Ravens should go into this game thinking, I like what Terrell Suggs said after this game, after this Steelers game. He was out in the press conference and was like, yeah, this win was great, and this was great beating your arch rival, but if we lose on Thursday, this win doesn't mean a thing.
Nope. Yeah, exactly. He said, you know, he was kind of disappointed in the win because he was like, you know, we need to play better. But I love this statement there, and you're right, man, because it's almost like it comes down to this. If we lose to Cleveland, I'm saying our playoff chances are done. This is – of the so few little losses we can take, this cannot be one of them. We can probably already tell that we're probably going to – and you don't know. I'm not a predictor of futures here, but – if you were to ask me, obviously, I see two losses are the Dallas Cowboys game, New England Patriots game right off the bat. Bengals, the way they're playing, we can easily beat them at home. The Dolphins, we can beat at home. We can beat the Browns at home. So you figured, okay, and we have those games coming up. So the way the schedule pans out, I actually have it in front of me now. The way the schedule pans out, I mean, again, you don't look ahead past the Browns, but the next four games, we have three at home. So if we can take care of all three of those home games, and then we have three out of four on the road. So we have eight games left, and we have four home games. So we're four on the road and four at home. So if we can win all four of those home games, that would actually be very good for us. Those home games are the Browns this Thursday, Bengals, Dolphins, and Eagles. So who knows what could happen down the road, but this Browns game – this could be one of those trap games that we might be saying at halftime, we better get a move on because they could easily beat us. But not worried about with Cody Kessler, quarterback. They just haven't shown that he's got it, what it takes. But they got some offensive dynamos in Terrell Pryor, which I'm worried about. They do not have Josh Gordon still going through rehab. So, I mean, he's a beast receiver if he just gets his act straight. But they do got a running game, man. Corral and Duke Johnson. But we've been there, started stopping the run. We just stopped one of the best in the business in Le'Veon Bell. So I'm not worried about the running game. So the passing game is the key this weekend, man. Again, because what happened? If we get lax and get a big lead, will Terrell Pryor and company gash us again, man? Will Joe Hayden stop one of our top receivers? Will he be shadowing? Those are the keys to the game to look out for, and we're going to cover them on the game day preview, obviously, live at a lot of H and tailgating. But just looking at that, that's where the two keys are lying for this game. It's really important to get those under check and stay healthy. But if, I think if we can do that, this one's easy in our pockets.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. So, Josh, I think you're kind of losing your voice even more now. Are we done? Have we covered everything for this red-eye purple preview?
I love that. Red-eye purple preview, and quote the Raven, nevermore, man, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
You can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52, and please do so because my voice is getting worse.
All right, guys, go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Get ready on, I guess, on Purple Thursday for this game day preview on Facebook Live. We'll give you the keys to the game on Thursday. Like we said, we're Ravens Worldwide. Continue to talk to us on Twitter and Facebook. Had a couple fans reach out to us this week, and we got to talk with some friends from California and Montana. So, plenty of Ravens fans all over the world. It was real cool to chat with them. So, guys, we give you this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask is for you guys to please spread the word about the show. Be social with the show. Let your friends know that you listen to the call. They should, too, because the Ravens are beating the Steelers as much as they humanly can. All right, guys, we got an important week coming up. We have the Browns on Thursday. If you are in the U.S., don't forget to go out and vote on Tuesday. Don't care who you're voting for. Just go out and vote, and that's what our country was founded on, was the ability to do that. So go out.
I wrote in Ray Lewis. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, there you go. I would vote for Ray Lewis as president, sure.
Why not?
And a big thank you to all of the veterans out there. On Friday, it is Veterans Day, and I just want to say a big thank you to all of you and everything that you've done, past, future, present, everybody out there. Thank you very much for your service. You you are definitely appreciated. All right, Josh, you know what to do. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. It was a great show, great condensed show. A lot of great covered content, man. This was fun. Dude, it was fun beating the Steelers on Sunday, wasn't it? It was grand.
I love it.
Just the way we did it, silencing those stupid yellow towels. I really can't stand them. Fans are fine. The fans are great. We had some good fun and camaraderie in the stands going back and forth, but nothing too bad. And just, but at the end of the day, we silenced them. We're in first place. We'll take it. I love it. Any day, any week. And we've owned them. Ravens are 4-0 against Steelers in the last four games. I'll take that any day, man. We've owned them. We found their number. We know how to do it. Now let's duplicate it. And let's just take care of the Browns like we know we always do. 2-0. Let's go 2-0 against the Browns and sweep these guys. Let's get them on the run. I smell some brownies cooking on Thursday night football under the lights. Can't wait to get this divisional battle started and get back to the winning ways above 500 in the AFC North and take full control, guys. The only way we're going to talk the purple, the P word around here, and I'm not saying purple, I'm saying playoffs and Festus Maximus around here. The only way is through the North in a home playoff game. And I think with the Ravens, they set their eyes on the prize. Anything's possible, and I think it starts now with the Cleveland Browns. We've got to get past these guys. They're in our way. They're in the next step on the journey. Nothing we can handle and be 5-4, guys. Let's do it. Baltimore Ravens, under the lights, prime time. And everybody's going to be watching Thursday night. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like